I'm going to talk about stochastic perishable inventory system with two types of customers. This is work in progress. I do have some results for some special cases here. Now, one of the basic assumptions in most inventory models is that all demand for a single item is equally important. Now, this isn't necessarily true always, as we saw from the talk this morning. And examples of this, spare parts in the airline industry, you can have both crucial and non-crucial orders. The crucial orders are supplied first on an emergency basis, and the others take their own time. You can also have assemble-to-order systems where the same component is used to make different end products. Or the hospital emergency room, blood. I don't need to go into the details of this. Computer resources. Again, you can differentiate the resources based on who is using it. Professors, grad students, or undergraduates. Even in the general retail sales, the different customers, if you have different prices, then you have two different types of customers. Now, all these examples are not necessarily for perishable systems, and I'm going to talk a little bit about perishable systems and also about non-perishables. Now, I'm going to do this in a more traditional fashion and go start with the references. The model that I'm going to be discussing is a continuous review inventory system, and there really hasn't been much work done on continuous review systems with different types of customers. Whereas in periodic review, the work started way back in the 60s. So the first ones to do this was Namias, and if you look at this, you have the first three. In fact, the first four deal with systems which have back orders. Okay, sorry, it's three, which deal with systems with back orders. And the last three are systems which are lost sales. So I'm going to be talking about a lost sales perishable inventory system with two types of customers. And the two things which are done here, four and five, assume a lot-for-lot ordering policy. The last one adopts an SQ ordering policy, or when inventory level drops to S, an order for Q items is placed. It's this type of model that I'm going to be dealing with in my talk. Here, he does analyze the lost sales situation with fixed lead times or constant lead times. He proves the optimality of his policy. I'm going to be talking about an inventory system where the lead times are arbitrarily distributed. Using the following assumptions in my model, a basic SS inventory system is used. The maximum inventory level is F. When inventory level drops to little s, an order is placed for capital S minus little s items. And S minus S is equal to Q. Now, one of the assumptions that I'm going to make in this model is that the order quantity Q is greater than the reorder level little s. This is necessary because this ensures that there is at most one order pending at any given time. Look at perishable items and two types of customers. And it's again a very simple model. Arrivals occur according to a Poisson process. There are two types of demand arrivals, high priority customers HP and low priority LP. Arrival rates are lambda 1 and lambda 2. Lifetime is exponentially distributed with parameter gamma. I do realize that this is a drawback, and either a fixed lifetime or arbitrarily distributed lifetime would be more realistic. And that's what I hope to get from here, to get suggestions on how to handle lifetime which is not exponentially distributed. Okay, when inventory level IT, that's the notation I'm going to use, drops to a little less and order is placed, the lead time is arbitrarily distributed with probability density function GT and mean M, and there is rationing of inventory. When an order is placed, when inventory level drops to a little less, an order is placed. Until that order is received, the low priority customer is not going to get his item. And that is going to be lost sales. So if inventory level is less than or equal to little less, the low priority customer does not get any service. And the high priority customer gets service till inventory level drops to zero. And when inventory level drops to zero and there is a demand by a high priority customer, once again it is lost sale. This makes the analysis simple in one direction because it leaves us with finite state space. Now I'm just going to get into a little bit of the mathematics. If you look at the model, we have Poisson arrivals, exponential lifetimes, and general lead time. So if we look at the process at time points at which replenishment occurs, then from this point on, the future of the process is independent of the past if the inventory level is known at these specific points, which are the replenishment points. Now we look at the inventory level at the just before a replenishment occurs. Now this process INTN, this is inventory level just before a replenishment, and TN is a replenishment epoch, is a Markov-Renneval process. Now the state space here for the inventory level is only between zero and little less, because we are looking at time points just before a replenishment. Now we define PIJT as the probability inventory level is J at an arbitrary time point T, given that at the replenishment epoch or immediately before the replenishment, the inventory level was I. Now to analyze this, we use the Markov-Renneval equation. Now this equation is written out, this is a well-known equation. This is written out using the fact that this part, there is no replenishment in 0 to t. And here, the first replenishment occurs at time point u. And then at time t, the inventory level is j. Now that's how this equation is written out. Now to solve this equation in a time-dependent fashion or a transient form is next to impossible, so I'm not even going to attempt that. When we go to stationary distributions of this, what happens is the notation gets really, really messy. And for the time being, I am going to present some more of this general lead time distribution. But for the time being, I'm just going to focus on exponential lead times and spend maybe 2-3 minutes talking about that before going back to arbitrary lead times. In the exponential case, exponential lead times case, you can write out the balance equation very simply. And lambda 1 is the arrival rate of the high priority, lambda 2 of the low priority, gamma is the death rate, and mu is the replenishment rate. So transition in equal to transition out, and you can write these out very easily. And the nice bit is that here we can get analytic solutions for the inventory level distribution. And these are simple enough and easy enough to obtain. There are no stability conditions necessary here since we are dealing with finite state space. Now we can go ahead and do the cost analysis here. We come up with some interesting results even when we do the cost analysis. Let H be the inventory carrying cost per unit time. So this is inventory carrying cost. C2 is the cost associated with perishables, a unit perishing while in inventory. G1 is lost sales cost for high priority customer. And C is the cost per unit. So when you place an order, you have a cost per unit and a set of cost. The cost per unit is the C here. And G1 is the cost of a single lost sale for the high priority customer. Now we could prove analytically that when this inequality holds, CSQ is an increasing function of F, or the cost function is an increasing function of F for a fixed order quantity Q. Which means at this point the reorder level is zero. Now, when I look at numerical examples of arbitrarily distributed lead time, so I tried the case of phase type and also of lead time, which are of constant lead time. This result seems to be true. I'm not able to prove it analytically, but this result appears to be true even for the case of constant lead time or phase type lead time. One of the things that I would like to do would be to prove this result for arbitrarily distributed lead times as well. Okay, now I'm going to go back. This is the exponential lead times case. Now I'm going to go back to the generally distributed lead times or arbitrarily distributed lead times. Now, when we go there, the notation gets very, very messy, so I don't want to go into those details too much, plus that is not completely finished. So I want to focus on non-perishable items and then connect it up to perishable items. So to take the same model that we have and make it non-perishable, all that we need to do is to set gamma, which is the perishable rate, to zero. And then we end up with the same equation. Now, when you look at this equation in the non-perishable case, it's way easier to deal with. The two key quantities that are needed is the function k and the function theta. This function theta is the derivative of the semi-Markov kernel, and can be written as a function of two other functions. K can also be obtained by writing K as a product of two functions. So now let's go to the determination of these two functions, theta and K, which will, in the steady state, help us to determine the inventory level distribution. Now just a very, very quick look at that. Now, theta is given a replenishment here at I0, at time t0, a replenishment occurs. The next replenishment is at time point t1, which is between t and t plus delta. That's the definition of theta. And the difference between theta and k, if you look at this, it's given I0 equal to I. The only difference is for k, a replenishment has not occurred up to time point t. For theta, there is a replenishment between t and t plus delta, and for k, there is no replenishment up to time point t. Now, theta can be written as a convolution of two functions, a and b. Now, these two, this was the biggest step. Once I could get these two functions, rest of the analysis followed through pretty easily. Now, the function a is probability there's a reorder in t to t plus delta, given I0 equal to I. So, yeah, I'm splitting this up into two portions, that there is the time at which a reorder takes place, and then time till replenishment. So this is the first portion where there is a reorder. The next portion is for the replenishment. BJT is probability there is a replenishment in T to T plus delta. Now, both these functions, A and B, can be written completely in terms of the function chi and the function chi and the lead time distribution g. Now, if you look at the expression here for chi ijt, these are the probabilities of a pure depth process. So this is easy enough to get from any book, the probabilities for a pure depth process. And once we get those probabilities, then we have AIT and BJT as lambda 1 plus lambda 2 multiplied by chi, and B is GT, which is the lead time probability density function, multiplied by another function of chi. So in the steady state, what happens is the theta is used to obtain the steady state probabilities in the following manner. Now, Pij is independent of I, and hence the finite Markov chain is reversible. Now, this is a property which really helped us to obtain the further results, this is a reversible Markov chain. And that helped us get the P, and which in turn takes us to the cost analysis. We have the cost function here. The same parameters as before, which are listed off, the inventory carrying cost, ordering cost, and the two lost sales costs. Okay, this would be my last slide. We could prove three theorems here. For a fixed Q, CSQ is either monotonic or has a unique local minima. And whenever Q is greater than this quantity, CSQ is an increasing function. And C1Q is either increasing or has a unique local minima. This means that you have something like this. You are using the area. This theorem says that CSQ is either monotonic or has a unique local minima. So in one area, if Q is greater than, let's call this point Q star, if Q is greater than this point, then S is equal to 1. So we restrict the search to a finite area here and an infinite area only in one direction.